Hello, everyone. Before we get the show started, the Psychosocial Podcast is not a replacement for therapy or mental health treatment. The conversation is for informational and entertainment purposes only. If you find yourself needing professional help, seek treatment with a qualified therapist. Thank you. Now enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 2 of the Psychosocial Podcast. My name is Luis Cornejo, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist living and thriving in the Bay Area. And for today's episode, we are going to be talking about first-year mental health professionals. And I'm joined today by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Flores, and I'm an associate marriage and family therapist. Happy to be here.
Hola, my name is Liz Hinojosa. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist living and trying to thrive in occupied Ohlone territory.
Well, welcome everyone back to our podcast. And today, like I said, we're going to be talking about first year mental health professionals. And, you know, we all have a little bit of a story to share, but I think it's just a great topic, right? Because we don't really talk about that first year after grad school, right? After all that training and our practicums and going through our tests or dissertations, whatever, and then being thrown out into the world. So I'll go ahead and get started a little bit about my story. My first year after grad school, I actually won an award from the state to perform a one-year service at a nonprofit. So I got a stipend for that. And so I was a little bit more limited in my choice in terms of where I wanted to go, only because the stipend had specific requirements. And so that was a big part of my first year, was working for a nonprofit that was government funded. And the interesting piece was that most of those positions were actually really, really challenging, at least I will say, looking back for a first year. But nonetheless, that was part of the expectation. And so I started off in the full service partnership program at a nonprofit in LA, in Torrance. And I was focusing and working with primarily families and children that first year. And so you can imagine being thrown into this brand new world where so much was happening. There were so many expectations, and I was just, you know, bright eyed, ready to help everyone. And I quickly learned that the field is not very, at least systemically, not very feasible, right? It's not easy to work through or navigate. There's definitely a lot that comes with it, right? Whether it's capitalism in the form of productivity and notes and having to do a lot of paperwork that will make you want to pull your hair out, or also having to deal with the legal stuff, right? Of, can I get sued? Should I ask this? How do I make sure of this? And all of these responsibilities, right? Especially for a first year, trying to figure out just how to start a session, right? After coming out of grad school and being around clients out in the world. So it was really tough. There was a lot that I had to learn quickly. There was definitely a lot of crying, a lot of doubting, a lot of frustration, and a lot of having to unlearn things from grad school. So I spent my whole year pretty much navigating the system this system that had caused high burnout, caused a lot of stress, and yet my role was to heal, right? Was to help children, was to help families. And so I think I grew a little bit distant from the field at one point. I remember thinking, oh, did I make the right choice? Was this really what I wanted to do? This doesn't feel like what I was expecting or hoping for. So there was a lot of grief too with that, right? Kind of having to let go of a lot of expectations and assumptions about being a therapist and helping others, right? Not being fully equipped yet with the knowledge of my own self-care or my own work that I hadn't been doing as much of at that point. So that was my first year, you know, really struggling. I think there's a lot of stuff in grad school that we were not taught or that we were not given, whether it was business etiquette, right? How do we start a business? How do we navigate the system, but also having to acclimate to high demand, right, of paperwork and time management and all of these things that most of the time we're not prepared. And yet the majority of us end up working in a nonprofit at one point or another, because it's kind of what we're being pushed into, right? It's you come out of out of grad school and you go into supporting the community or working at a nonprofit, there's a few of us, right, that go into private practice or go into a more luxurious form of therapy or come up with some other avenue for it. But for most of us, right, it's really that being thrown into the field and having to learn to swim. So that's my story. I don't know who wants to go next and share.
Thank you, Luis. I will go next. Mine is definitely a journey. So when I graduated from grad school, I was very depressed because, so I'm just going to share some like really, sensitive information. So it's also a trigger warning for people. One of my cousins committed suicide. And he was dealing with his own mental health. It was just really hard because I was like, I'm like studying to be a therapist and yet I have a family member. And, when that had mental health illness, and it was just really hard because grief, comes in many layers and in waves. And especially when it comes to suicide, it has definitely different layers to it. So when I graduated, I think for about like 6 months, I was really, really depressed. And then finally I was like, oh, I gotta snap out of it. Like I need to find a job, And I was really, really frustrated and mad because schools are institutions and we live in this capitalistic society and they're businesses, right? I had still owed my last semester, which was like, about $2,000-$3,000. And because I still owed the school money, they did not want to give me my transcript. So then therefore I couldn't apply for my associate number, right? And I was like, man, like I'm not, like I want to work as a therapist, but how can I gain this experience? And if they're not going to give me my transcript. And so then I had decided to become a case manager at a domestic violence shelter for women and children. And I was there for about a year. And I was able to save money. And somebody helped me out, right? And a friend helped me out and she let me borrow the money. And then I paid her back. So I'm thankful to her because of that, and I was able to get my associate number, and then after that, I got recruited to work for a nonprofit working with homeless families as well, doing therapy, and I actually had done my practicum there when I was in grad school, and I already had some experience working with like the electronic system, but like those progress notes, like having to do those progress notes and treatment plans and this is due in 90 days and, all of that. It's definitely, I already had an idea of how to do it. So it was not, I already had pulled out my hair in grad school trying to learn that. But still, it's challenging, because we come into the mental health field because we want to help support people in their healing journey, not because we want to do all this paperwork, but of course, because we're working in nonprofits, we have to do this paperwork, which it's part of it, and I've just learned to see it as, it's like a separate part of the job, but it's like its own job, if that makes any sense, you got to really treat it that way, but I still struggle with it, I'm not going to lie, and yeah, it's just, it definitely has its own challenges. And also, like, just getting to know people, your colleagues, and knowing, like, who you can lean on and who can, who can support you or, like, who's got your back. But also, again, it's like, especially living in the Bay Area and working at nonprofits, it's challenging to be able to really be able to make it and to thrive, And, of course, money's not everything, but hey man, you gotta pay the bills and rent.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes, thanks for sharing that, Liz and Luis. I think oftentimes we come out from grad school thinking like, all right, I'm going to get an amazing paying, a good paying job. Like it's going to be super stable. Like I don't have to deal with like office politics and like bureaucracy and like these systems. And I think like, you know, for me, I was able to get a little taste of that, of all of that. Mm-hmm. I've been in the mental health field for a while. I was doing mental health coaching. I was a behavior specialist and I was doing case management. And then I finished grad school and I, you know, went straight to nonprofit and, you know, working with the Latinx community, which is something that I'm really passionate about and wanting to help and support my community. But I realized that, you know, upon, you know, navigating, you know, these systems, there's like a lot of things that kind of, I felt like I dealt with, right? You know, as Luis mentioned, long hours, oftentimes hours that, you know, are not quite realistic to our also needs, our self-care, productivity, right? All of these things that, you know, we oftentimes don't think about that we have to deal with, right, when we're in school. But then the reality comes in. And as Liz mentioned, right, oftentimes we may not get the best paying job, right? But it's also thinking about it as an experience. And I think that's just like from a very systemic level, like we have to, I think changes need to happen, right? Around, you know, giving more value, right, to therapists and to mental health professionals in this field. But I think like some of the challenges and the barriers, I would say navigating the systems in place, right? And burnout. Right. Burnout is real. Compassion fatigue. Also dealing with, you know, the BBS, and which is another system, right? And I think that, yeah, I think for me, it was just like a lot around learning to take care of myself, because I realized like I'm a long way from this journey of acquiring all of my hours. And the thing about becoming a therapist, there's like layers, right? There's phases, right? You are in school, you do your traineeship, then you get some hours, you get supervision, then you go, you finish, you know, post graduate school, you get your associate's degree, you get hours, 3,000 something hours. Then you have to apply for your license, which is like another fee that you have to pay. And then you have to pass your exam, your law and ethics, right? Then you have to pay again to get licensed. And then you have to continue accruing hours. So there's like so many steps that we have to go through. And like it's never ending, right? So I think I would say as a tip for me, that things that have helped me through my journey is self-advocacy and setting boundaries. I think being able to know my limit, being able to fill up my cup, being able to know what feels right and what doesn't, and say no. If I can take on another task, another client, then saying I'm at capacity, I'm not going to do it, right? And networking as much as possible, right? Finding community, finding people and folks that are supportive, community care, right? That is super, super important. And also just speak your truth, right? Be authentic regardless, right? I think that that's been a huge part of how I've kind of gained my own power back in navigating systems, right? So I would say that also just being patient with ourselves, right? Having self-compassion. We talked about human first, therapist second, right, in our last episode. So being able to be self-compassionate, right, that this is a journey.
Exactly, yeah. And the first year, you know, it's a lot of testing. It's a lot of learning and unlearning. And it can feel very draining. It can feel heavy, right, because you're being transitioned into the field, and like Cynthia shared and Liz did too, the field not always very friendly and does bring up its own set of barriers and challenges. And so I think it's so important that we find ways of navigating that, everything that Cynthia shared, and especially the community part, right? Finding other folks that understand, other folks that can support you in your journey, practicing the, you know, the disconnect, right, from work when you're off. I think that's super, super important, is having really good boundaries and limits, right? Being able to separate work stuff from home stuff, because it can get very intermixed, right? And it can get really convoluted, and then it's heavy. And that's what leads to a lot of that burnout and fatigue, right? Is that we're constantly using our feelings, our energy, our capacity, and it's draining.
I also remember, you know, when you're talking about mentioning this, Luis, is as we're, you know, humans first, right? You know, coming home and like worried about a client. And I'm just like thinking about a client, I'm like worried and for their safety or for whatever, you know, things might be coming up. And it's really challenging sometimes, like Luis is saying, you know, to be able to put that boundary right between work and your home life. But you know, like I said, you know, like we're saying, we're humans first, right? So we're gonna, and we also care, right? We have feelings, you know, we care about our clients, right? So you know, those are those times where, especially, you know, when it comes to safety, where we're really thinking about them. And also I think about counter transference as well, right? And then also sometimes when we have like parallel experiences with our clients, and also having a supervisor or someone to be able, you know, or also I think about doing art therapy for myself, right? Doing art or expressing myself and being able to get that counter transference out of my system.
Yeah, and the importance of seeking out support, right? Either through friends, community, but also therapy. Right. I think this is one of the things that is even emphasized in graduate school. But I think as people supporting others, it's important to do our own healing work. Right. Have that self-awareness. And also I was thinking to to seek out other opportunities. Don't let work be your only kind of like work home, your only thing that you do. Like seek out other opportunities, things that ignite your creativity, right? Things that you can do that help you, you know, hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm. Try new things out as well too.
Like try
what,
new things
what
out.
Feeds your soul?
Exactly.
What makes you happy? What brings you joy?
Exactly. Absolutely. What brings you fulfillment, right?
And I think that's the great thing about the field, is that there's so many different things that we can do now, and especially because mental health is being pushed to the forefront in, you know, the last couple of years because of COVID, but I mean, just in general, right, that movement to understanding our mental health more, there's so many different opportunities, right? Mental health professionals are not just therapists anymore. We're speakers, we're writers, we're, you know, supporting media. I mean, we're doing so many different creative things. And so I think it's also important to, you know, take our first year as part of that process, remind ourselves that we don't get stuck in time. We're going to have other opportunities. There's going to be other things that we're going to find about ourselves that might be a better fit for us, and still doing the work through, you know, supporting mental health and helping people grow. So I think all of those things, you know, are a big part of it. So thank you everyone so much for joining us for this episode of the Psychosocial Podcast. We're so excited that you were here, and we can't wait to see you at the next episode.
Adios. Hasta Ciao. La próxima.
Bye.